You may have been given a sheet as you came into church, which asked you some questions. And you might have noticed as you came into church, there's a map with a Bible and a compass. And my proud acquisition from Amazon as of yesterday, a pith helmet, because every missionary has a pith helmet, don't they? Well, they used to. So, all sorts of questions if you're going to go to a foreign country. What language will I need to speak? What sort of clothes will I need to take? Is it hot or cold? Is it wet or dry? What dangers or diseases will confront us when we get there? What sort of culture will I have to understand? So I'm not going to ask everyone to come up, but who had the country of Mali? So, do you want to come up the front, Tim? You can wear the pith helmet. So, what sort of language? You look great in it, yeah. It's a born missionary. It's a clear sign of a call. What sort of language do you think you're going to need to learn in Mali?
Bambara and French, apparently.
Okay, so someone's been using Google, obviously. Yeah. Okay. And what sort of clothes do you think you'll be needing to take? Is it hot?
It's very hot.
Very hot. It's actually in the Sahara, basically, isn't it? Yep, very hot. Any particular diseases or dangers you face?
Terrorism, kidnapping, and malaria.
Malaria. So, and don't forget crocodiles and scorpions, just to make you feel really comfortable.
They're a bit lower down on the list.
Okay, yeah. And what sort of culture is in the background? What are the people there like already?
So they're mostly Muslim. Culture, kind of family orientated.
Very good.
Culture.
Tim and Rosie. Rosie's got to stay because we need her. But, sounds like you're ready to go. Thank you very much. Who got the country of Turkey? Come on. Come, Hannah. And either you or your dad can wear the pith helmet.
Yes, we need to put the,
Okay. So, what language do you think you're going to need to learn to be in Turkey?
Turkish.
Good guess. Yes, I'm pretty sure that's right. And what sort of clothes do you think you're going to wear? Is it hot, cold, wet, dry?
Hot and dry.
Hot and dry. Yes, it is sometimes. Sometimes it's cold and wet as well. So you're going to need a whole range of clothes. Yep. Any particular diseases or dangers you may face?
Hostility towards Christians.
Yes. And what sort of country is it? Culture and religion?
It's Islamic.
So it could be quite a tough assignment. How do you feel about going?
I don't really want to go.
You don't really want to go. Okay. Well, commendable honesty. Thank you very much. And finally, who was sent to Mongolia? Come on, Sally Ann and Molly. Are you coming? No, just Sally Ann. Leaving the kids at home. Quick trip to Mongolia. Put your hat on. So, Sally Ann, what sort of language? It doesn't quite fit, does it? No. What sort of language do you need to learn?
Mongolian,
okay, yeah. And what sort of clothes do you need? Is it hot, cold, dry, wet?
Hot, we presumed. Hot. I didn't look this up. Does anyone else know?
If you look where Mongolia is, at the top here, it actually gets very, very cold.
Oh.
So you're going to need some warm clothes. A pair of shorts is not going to be enough.
Okay.
And diseases or dangers?
Not really. A bit of petty crime, so maybe insect-borne diseases. Maybe water altitude. They talked about a bit of altitude sickness and
altitude
stuff like
sickness,
that.
Altitude sickness, that's a new problem to deal with. Yeah. And culture, what sort of background religion do they believe there?
Buddhism, mainly.
Okay, that's a different challenge, yeah. How do you feel about going?
Yeah, apparently it's quite safe for travellers, really, so it's an okay place to visit.
Okay, that's great. Let's give all our potential missionaries a round of applause. And as I asked some of them, do you want to go? And some of them said, yeah, I wouldn't mind. And others were definitely, no way I'm going there. But here's the question. Do we need to go? Do these people need to hear about Jesus? And some people would say, no, it's none of our business. Just leave them. Let them be Muslims and Buddhists and whatever it may be. But as we look at our Bible reading this morning, and I just want to refer you back to Matthew chapter 9 and 10, it's clear that Jesus is filled with compassion at the people he meets, and he longs for them to come. And sometimes in the church, people have said, don't bother. There was a shoemaker called William Carey. In 1792, he made his shoes and he kept looking at a map of the world thinking, where should I go? I'm sure God is calling me. And his vicar or pastor, because he was a Baptist, said, young man, sit down. when God pleases to convert those who have never heard of Jesus Christ, he'll do it without consulting you or me. We don't need to bother. But William wouldn't sit down. He persevered, and he ended up being one of the most effective missionaries in history, going all the way to India and learning loads of languages. He was a shoemaker, but he was brilliant at language. So, they need to know Jesus, and Jesus wants them. He wants people to know him and to love him and to be part of his kingdom. When Jesus saw the crowds, we read, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And if you look around the world today at people, your neighbours, I don't think people are very happy at the moment. There's all sorts of things that worry us. I was particularly struck by this headline on the BBC yesterday. A chap called Paisley, I spoke to ChatGPT 8 times a day. I mean, that is sad. What's he looking for that ChatGPT cannot give to him? People have a spiritual hunger, even if they don't know it's a spiritual hunger. Now, Jesus has spent the last 2 chapters of Matthew, if you remember way back, we looked at this in June. He's been preaching the kingdom. He's been healing the sick, cleansing lepers, driving out demons, raising the dead. He's been busy, and yet, after 2 whole chapters of this, the crowds are bigger than ever. The need seems to be endless. Jesus isn't exhausted. Instead, he is filled with compassion and he is determined to reach these people, but he knows he's going to need to send out more workers. And so for the first time in the Gospels, he tells his disciples to do something. And this is what he tells them to do. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus knows that these people need him, and he's going to send his disciples to help them. So, do we see the need in our neighbours? Are they anxious? Do we have compassion like Jesus for those around us? Then the first thing we need to do is pray that God would raise up workers to do the work. But then Jesus does something. He commissions 12 of his disciples. Now, he may have had more disciples than that. We've only had 5 named so far, but we meet 7 more in this reading. And we know from other parts of the Bible that he chose these from a bigger crowd, perhaps 70 or 80. And he spent all night praying about it to who he would choose. And he sends them out with authority. They have the same message as Jesus. So they preach. We know from other Gospels that there was a great response and the disciples came back rejoicing. So Jesus' 12 disciples have the same message and they operate under the same geographical limit. Jesus is not sending them to Mongolia or Mali or Turkey. He's not even sending them next door to Samaria or the Gentiles on the other side of the lake. Just go to your fellow Jews, the lost sheep of Israel. And that limit makes it much easier because they don't have to learn a foreign language. They know what they think. They don't have to pack lots of clothes and face new diseases. This is easy territory. But of course, mission is never easy. They are going as ambassadors of Jesus. And missionaries today still go as ambassadors of Jesus. Whenever we share the faith, we are ambassadors for King Jesus. But this local limit which Jesus imposes is not meant to last. Jesus already started to break it himself. He's talked to a Gentile centurion. In chapter 15, he'll talk to Canaanites and go across the lake to the Gentiles. And as Simon reminded us at the start of the service, he will send us all to the nations at the end of the gospel, make disciples. And whether we go to our neighbors or to Mongolians, mission is never easy. And then thirdly, Jesus tells them to travel light. Take no bag, no money, no staff. Don't sort of go expecting to have to provide for yourself because, says Jesus, the worker is worthy of his keep. God, you are God's ambassador, and God will provide you with what you need. Now, some of you may remember long ago, I used to go regularly on a mission organisation called Through Faith Missions, the Walk of 1,000 Men. And I did about five or six of them before I got involved in other things. And I remember going to Cornwall in 1993, and a whole group of us had been planned to go there, but the vicar was ill, and he hadn't organised anything. When we got to the village hall where we were staying, there wasn't even a tea bag. But the word got round, and people responded. Tea bags, milk, biscuits, cakes, invitations to stay at home. The leader of Through Faith Missions, Dan Cousins, said faith is spelt R-I-S-K, risk. You really don't know what's going to happen. But he also said faith is fattening, because when you're laid out with a full meal, well, you've got to eat it, haven't you? It's your job. And we were beautifully cared for wherever we went. So God is able to provide, so trust him and travel light. But later in the gospel, Jesus says, I told you not to take provisions before, but now take money in a bag and a staff. And it says in the rest of the New Testament, the worker is worthy of his keep. So there is a responsibility for us to support those who go on mission. And then thirdly, Jesus offers a challenge. Wherever you go, he says, see how they welcome you. If you're not welcome, shake the dust off your feet. If you are made welcome, then stay there. Search for some worthy person and stay at his house until you leave. Now, as we will discover as the gospel continues, those who preach the gospel are not always made welcome. Next week, we'll look at the hostility that Jesus warns us we may face, as Jesus himself did. It took him to the cross. But Jesus here says, find a worthy person, stay there, and let your peace, and your peace is the peace of your king, because you're his ambassador, stay on that house. If not, shake off the dust. This is not just something that might slightly improve your lifestyle if you become a Christian. This is a matter of life and death. Repent and believe that Jesus is king. So here is the gospel challenge which the church is asked to proclaim. Jesus is Lord. Will you accept him or will you not? Now today, we are not looking for volunteers to go on mission to Mongolia or anywhere else particularly, though I am hoping that we will have a mission to Bovey Tracy later in the year, working with other churches. But the particular focus today is that I believe that we are called to be praying for and raising up a worker with our young people, a youth and family worker. Now, for many years, we have invested heavily as a church in this. We've employed family workers and youth workers, and this is for a very good reason, because most people decide to follow Jesus before they are 18, and 81% by the time they're 24. We have three readers, two retired clergy, an aged vicar to reach the older generations, but it's the young who respond best to the gospel. Therefore, we have to invest in them. And frankly, I'm past it. So we need to be investing in reaching young people. Rosie's doing a great job, and I think this little video, which hopefully will start up in a moment, will show us what.
Come and see what we've got going on for children and young people.
Dads who come along, and all the kids have loads of activities to do, whether they're little or getting a bit bigger and running around.
The inside of the whale, so it's lovely to see other children. and it's just good.
I love coming to Finding Friends. I like connecting with families and children, and it was just so lovely to see people arriving smiling and leaving smiling. Having had a great morning.
Thank you, Shirley and Annis, for making that video. And it's great to see all the work going on. So there's tremendous work being done already. Rosie, I think you estimate there's about 135, 40 children in the town we have regular contact with. But that's only 2% of the young population of Bovey Tracy. And it's great to have contact with all these 0 to 11s, but it's foolish then to let them wander off because we can't look after them as they grow older. So the PCC has a vision that now is the time that we need to recruit a trained and experienced youth and family worker. And this is quite rare in churches because, sadly, churches, like some of those towns in Israel, don't welcome the gospel workers that come to them. They don't provide what they need. Youth workers find that it's a pretty unrewarding career. They're not paid adequately. And that's why the PCC feels that we need to be appealing for a full-time youth worker and to fund that for 3 years. So over the next 7 weeks, we are asking you to consider and pledge funds to help us do that. And as you leave this morning, if you didn't read the email that came on Friday, you'll get a leaflet setting out our vision and some of the costs. It's not cheap. A full-time worker will cost us, over 3 years, £97,000. And if we only raise enough for a part-time worker, that would be £60,000. It's a lot of money. But this is investing in the work of the kingdom. The PCC's budget we published in January doesn't contain any money for this because we've only just managed to balance the budget. This has got to be extra. Don't switch your money from keeping the roof on to paying for the youth worker. That won't help us. And you may think, this is impossible, there's no way we can do this. But remember, in 1 week last summer, we raised £20,000 for the underpew heaters, which are now keeping you relatively warm. And this time we've got 7 weeks. And we're not looking for the cash up front, though that would be welcome. We just need a pledge that over the next 3 years, you are prepared to give either a lump sum because you've got a dividend or a windfall or an inheritance, or a regular sum month by month. And if you can gift aid it, fantastic. And you can see we've already got two very generous pledges of 15,000. So we're a third of the way there already. And we need a few more big gifts and lots of people to make small gifts. Teenagers, if you want a youth worker, I don't know what your pocket money is, I'm not going to ask, but if you were to put £1 a week in for 3 years, and 10 of you did that, that would be £1,800, which is amazing. So give what you can, give generously, give sacrificially, and pray that the Lord will raise up the right person to help us build our work. And then that will show the Lord that as a church, we are worthy to welcome the work of the gospel. The need is great. Jesus is filled with compassion when he sees people helpless and harassed. Jesus commissions his workers and he challenges us, will you support the gospel? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who shared the good news of Jesus with us many years ago. And we pray that you would help us to be faithful, filled with compassion, hear your commission and rise to the challenge. Please help us to raise the funds and recruit the worker that we may make disciples of all ages. For the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.